Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network, and I'm Henry Reigns.
And I'm Mark Edge.
And we're here in the third hour of Reigns and Edge. We have covered a lot of ground. In fact, we've been around the world. And just to do a quick summary of where we have been, especially in the last hour, we talked about the reindustrialization of America. We talked about the reorganization and the reorientation of the global supply chain of the industrial world. We talked about the effects on China and the, might I say, shocking drop in their exports to the United States, to Europe, to Southeast Asia, basically the industrial world that's allied with the United States. And we talked about the economy of the U.S. and its allies, but especially the U.S., growing the manufacturing construction that's going on in the United States, the infrastructure that's going on in the United States, and the failure of China to live up to their China 2025 goals in high-tech industry and the most competitive areas of the economy in the coming century. So, Mark, before we take it any farther, what do you have to say about what we covered looking back?
Well, I've never been a big fan of China. In fact, I really kind of have a problem with a democracy, a republic, a country of free men doing business with, an authoritarian state like this. I don't like the status that China's been given under Nixon and Clinton. I don't like the getting into bed with people who, by the sounds of it, are stealing their citizens' organs and selling them on some kind of global black market. I don't like it.
I think that's an entrepreneurial endeavor by some Chinese.
Their government doesn't seem to have a problem with it, and it appears to be being perpetrated on people who are in their prisons. So once you take responsibility for somebody by incarcerating them, I think the most basic of responsibilities is not to sell their organs.
Well, point taken.
So, I don't like what I see as far as basketball stars and performers and these sorts of things being bent to the will of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. It used to be CCCP that we didn't like. Now it's the CCP that we don't like. And I'm aware that I'm only manipulated by the news that's sent out. But I hate seeing this bastion of freedom that was Hong Kong, previously Macau, and, maybe in the future Singapore, being manipulated by these authoritarians. I'm not a fan. I feel really bad for the people of Taiwan kind of stuck where they are. If I was God King of America,
God King?
I'd carve out a piece of
whoa.
God King, yeah.
God King? Does that give you the
God King of America, yes.
Too?
Just a guy who can make decrees without being questioned.
Okay, all right. We'll give you that.
I would carve out some of the the large swaths of Western land that the United States government has and just say, hey, you want a Taiwan, build it right here. We're going to make you a 51st state. Or just allow the people of Taiwan to immigrate here without any questions. that kind of thing. Give them, you know, some kind of favored immigration status, whatever it might be. But, I mean, these are people that are currently producing the world's semiconductors.
We need to give you the supernatural powers, too, if that's what you want to do.
I'd like that.
So you can levitate the Taiwan semiconductor factories right over the Pacific and
convert all of them to... To move a semiconductor factory, it's also not cheap to have it blown to smithereens.
Yes.
And that is one of the options on the table. So, you know, I mean, think about World War II when everybody said Joseph Stalin was insane for moving the factories to the east of Stalingrad. Somebody's going to correct me because I know I've gotten something wrong there. But, you know, now... He's looked back in history and saying this was a bold move and it was the right thing to do.
There's a lot more to Taiwan than the people there and the factories there. You've got the Moluccan Straits there that come around the southeastern part of Asia. From Taiwan, you can island hop like the United States did in World War II. And you can threaten Vietnam, South Korea, Philippines, and eventually Japan. And you eliminate logistical routes to support those countries and keep them in the United States sphere. Well, let's not even call it a sphere of influence. Let's call it a cooperative allies there. That are integrated with our economy. And you can effectively disengage the United States from the Pacific Rim, where we've been there ever since, Theodore Roosevelt, brought the dream of manifest destiny was not to move away from California. Manifest destiny was to circle the globe. For the United States influence. I told you that on one of the recent shows that I'm a reluctant imperialist now. You know, you brought up President Nixon, and President Nixon's opening to China was trilateral diplomacy. World power and power strategy is a three-way thing. If you can remember a time in the United States when there were the big three automakers, and they really, Japan and some of the other automakers around the world post-World War II were not a factor in American car manufacturing and car sales. You had a trilateral, you had three. So if one company gets too dominant, the other two will combine competitively, like whether we'd hate to call it collusion. I think President Trump would agree with me. Don't like the word collusion. But there would be coincidental pricing that put the third party at a disadvantage. And so at the time prior to the opening of China, let's say the 50s, when Russia and China became allied. The U.S. were looking at two adversaries and a superior combination than two is a superior combination than one. So by breaking China off and capitalizing on a natural enmity that the Russia and China had and separating them, we work the trilateral trilateral strategy against Russia or the Soviet Union at the time. Mm-hmm. And you find that three-way rivalry tends to be where things consolidate throughout history. So that was a very strategic move for Richard Nixon. Through Clinton, who you brought up too, that's where we deindustrialized United States, not we as the government, but just transnational corporations because the labor costs were so cheap in China. Eventually, once we got out of the United States, broke the unions here. Thank you, Ronald Reagan, for that. was well on its way, but he put the nail in the coffin for unions for a couple decades. Eventually, China's population had too high an income, and then transnationals started looking to Southeast Asia, started looking to Africa, South America, etc. We don't have to play that all the way out. If you look at Clinton versus George H.W. Bush and the fall of the Soviet Union, we had the trilateral flip the other way. The former Soviet Union and the Soviet Union bloc now found us as the asset. And we were getting integrated with Russia, and now China was isolated. So that constantly happens. George H.W. Bush and under James Baker, if you remember, they were imperialists, but they were very cautious imperialists. Remember when the first Iraq War, Desert Storm, George H.W. Bush didn't want to occupy Iraq. He was content just to contain Saddam Hussein there. And
right. They drove him out of Kuwait and just kind of, you know, stopped somewhere on the road to Baghdad.
You know, we've got a balance of power there that he's never going to rise to challenge us. Then, excuse me, when the Soviet Union fell, it was James Baker. Now, I can't know whether George H.W. Bush and James Baker felt this way as a long-term strategy, but they had told Boris Yeltsin, we will not expand NATO into the old Warsaw Bloc countries. You will still have this buffer of states between NATO and you. We aren't trying to dismember the big part of the Soviet Union, Russia. We just want to be partners with you in the economic welfare of the country, and you do not have to worry about a threat from us. Well, Bill Clinton came in, and the military-industrial state under Bill Clinton, what do they want to do? They want to expand NATO. They basically looted the Russian resources with sweetheart deals for the companies coming in, and eventually you had the backlash by the organized crime in Russia and the former Soviet former Communist Party that sort of reorganized itself as a capitalist party. And then we get to the point where we are now. But what else did we do in that period of time? After Bill Clinton?
I recall going after the Muslims.
Well, that was George W. Bush, not George H.W. Bush. With Clinton ends, we got George Bush. You know, the United States wanted hegemony. I mean, maybe you and I didn't. But the financial power, the wealth of the United States, those interests wanted hegemony in the world. But there were one faction of that wanted even more. And that's where we get the Project for the New American Century. And Zbigniew Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor, wrote a book in the 90s about the grand chessboard. And he said, we needed to have bases in Central Asia, like Kazakhstan, like Uzbekistan, like Afghanistan, if we were going to contain China and control the world. Well, let's step back a minute. We already were controlling the world.
Right.
Our infrastructure for the internet controlled the internet for the world. Our economics, the World Trade Organization,
yep,
the World Bank, we controlled the finance, and we had hegemony.
English is the international language. Dollar is the international currency. Right.
We had it all as a country.
What they wanted more is so that they could then abuse it, though, Henry. Like, there's no doubt that the dollar is the world's reserve currency, but the only reason it's threatened is because it hasn't been managed that well.
And in recent decades, our use of it as a weapon against everybody through sanctions and all that makes nations realize we need to hedge our bets on this. We need an escape, because if they ever bring the hammer down on us, we see what happens to these other countries. We see what North Korea struggles with. We see what Venezuela struggles with. But point is, George Bush came in with the whole signers on of the Project for the Newest American Century, it wasn't enough to have the control. They wanted absolute control, and they wanted bases in Central Asia. And where did it lead us? 20 years of endless war, 20 years and trillions of dollars and lost American lives.
Preceded by 20 years of endless war.
Pardon me?
Preceded by years, decades of endless war.
Well, I know.
Followed by decades.
War is peace, Mark.
right.
I'll try to explain that.
I just happened to have a page pulled up on 1984 right now.
Yeah.
You were talking about the three, this sort of trilateral. They mention Oceania, Eurasia, and East Asia in 1984, and I was going to use that as an example.
He was very foresightful. Anyway, we were beating this up, but I wanted the people to know. So we had a chance to be like Bismarck in the 1800s in Germany, where Germany had the power to expand and go into the same thing that had happened in Europe in previous centuries, grabbing land. But he was ready to be the dominant country in a balance of power. And rather than us, in our position with the fall of the Soviet Union, where we had control of all of the global institutions,
right,
to let there be a balance of power with lesser powers, with our hegemony, this faction behind George Bush, and not the faction behind his dad or the faction behind the other foreign policy establishment, wanted it all. They wanted the land. They wanted control of the physical land of the Eurasian mass. And here's where we are, trying to play makeup.
If you don't let your competition have at least a seat at the table, it's not going to go well.
You know, after 9/11, when we were going to go into Afghanistan, and really there was...
You keep saying we. I've never been to Afghanistan.
Okay. I'm saying the we of us as a country. When the United States...
I know.
I will refine my language in the future. The United States went in for retaliation about the 9/11 attack. Russia was happy for that. They thought they had Chechnya. They thought this was a chance to subjugate their Muslim problem. What they didn't realize is the same Project for American Century had also talked about the Iraq, Syria, in that area of the world as needing our control. And that was the overall plan. And in the Project for a New American Century, it says, barring a new Pearl Harbor, it will be hard to get the American people behind these expansion of bases overseas. They had their new Pearl Harbor. They came in, they're in Afghanistan, but most of the countries in the world understood that after 9/11, whatever you think of the actual source of the attack, there had to be retaliation from just the way power works, the way violence works. And for a moment in time, when Russia thought that they had a partner in subjugating their Muslim problem, I saw on Pravda, the old Russian news source, the website.
Magazine, yeah.
Across their banner, there was the face shot of George Bush and Vladimir Putin on each corner, and the blurring of the American flag into the Russian flag. It was stunning to me. Anyway, that's what happened. That was a moment lost, and here we are now. I think whenever you finish your...
Well, power's always going to overreach, right? Like, that's what it does.
No, not necessarily.
And it's... When doesn't it? That's the difficulty.
Chinese empires and dynasties that lasted a lot longer than we've existed.
They're usually kept in place by, like,
The Roman Empire tried to co-opt the leadership of as many lands that it conquered as it could.
Yeah, I would agree that hegemony makes a heck of a lot more sense than empire. But, you know, I mean, like, there's always going to be somebody who's, well, this hegemony thing isn't good enough. It's got to be a little more. We got to put our boot on the neck a little harder. And, you know, they didn't get their money or enough money or whatever in the first go around, so they got to squeeze it again. And that's where it really all falls apart. And I think Americans, sadly got this narrative out of World War II that, you know, countries are just going to fall in line like China, or excuse me, like Japan and Germany did. Why can't we just have that? How come they don't just fall in line? Well, because it rarely works that way.
Let's end this how we started, with some words from Steve Bannon. Let's see just how foresightful he was 5 years ago, and we'll come back after he has his words.
Brexit and 2016 are inextricably linked. What links them is China. It's China's exporting its deflation and Chinese exporting its excess capacity that has gutted the Midland heartlands of England, obviously through Germany, but and gutted the upper Midwest United States. If you go out to the Midwest and you give them a fire-breathing speech on China, you don't have to get them up to speed like you do the elites in New York. They understand it. J.D. Vance, who wrote Hillbilly Elegies, reminded me that these studies from MIT and Harvard show there's a direct correlation between the factories that went overseas, the billets and jobs that went with them, and the opioid crisis. Remember, tariffs are not just about economics, and they're just not about manufacturing jobs. It is about self-worth and identity, and people understanding they have jobs. Okay, this is bringing these manufacturing jobs back.
Good for the economy?
100% good for the economy. Great for the economy.
Well, there's the irony there from 5 years ago when he talks about the opioid crisis, which we all know about that. I guess China might point out the opium wars that happened with our occupation of the European powers of China.
Well, the European powers, like that, okay, if I'm not responsible for the United States government, I'm certainly not responsible for what the English government did. I realize I've got an English last name.
The U.S. had plenty of interest in the opium wars, too. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, his ancestors or grandfather gained much of their wealth from the opium trade.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know about the U.S.'s involvement in the opium wars.
Yeah, it was strong. We'll get around to all this stuff. But a lot of things there. I'm sure in the weeks to come we can explore some of them and get back to some more around the neighborhood corner issues too, and we'll try all that and just wrap it up in the next segment after these messages that you really want to hear here on Reins and Edge at the Free Talk Live Network.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. There are questions being raised about the newly appointed special counsel in the Hunter Biden investigations. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley's happy with the idea of the appointment, but he is surprised that it is Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss.
Short answer to your question is, it's about time. On the other hand, I have some question about Weiss doing it.
Republicans have accused the Justice Department of giving Hunter preferential treatment in the case by offering him a sweetheart deal. The last Last Voyage of the Demeter is setting sail at the box office. The horror film that features Dracula netted $750,000 from Thursday previews at North American theaters. It's expected to make between $7 and $9 million in its first weekend against a budget of $45 million. Meanwhile, Barbie is expected to take first place for the fourth straight week. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reins, and Mark Edge isn't here. All I can tell you, he's under deep cover right now on a very important mission. It has to do with global energy policy, resiliency, and, well, keeping the lights on. But speaking of keeping on lights on, got a person that goes way back in the past with shined a lot of light in my life and other people's life. It's Attorney C.J. Zaya. C.J., thanks for being here.
Oh, it's always an honor, Henry. Always great to be with you.
Yes, well, I think we go back about 20 years. When I first met you, you were getting ready to run for a Florida State Senate seat. And then just a couple years later, you were running for Congress. And we did radio together.
Yeah, it's been a long time, man. I just found out how old your kids were, and I forgot. I mean, I remember seeing them. They were little, tiny little things, and now they're young women.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And
you're not a granddad.
Yeah, and my younger daughter is married to a British young man, and they're over in the U.K. now. I wasn't planning on talking about this with you, but it really is a culture shock here. So she's trained in wellness, mm-hmm. and she just recently, the closest thing I could compare it to is guardian ad litem, but it's not that.
Right.
It is a arm's length distance from the federal government, but it's really a quasi-governmental organization that looks out for the welfare of children in the justice system there. And they have about 2,000 employees, and she just recently took this job where she's in charge of the wellness for those employees and developing different programs for that.
Awesome.
Right. And so in the UK, of course, they have health care that everyone receives.
National health care.
So it's not like where, say, you are working in the corporate America where, you know, the job is to reduce costs for health care. The main thing in the UK is they're looking to reduce absenteeism, to keep the people healthy and well,
so that they can do their job.
Amazing concept, especially yes. if you've experienced it over here. Right. So, you know, she would handle, you know, children that are, not directly the children, but the people that are working with the children right. and some of the stress and how to manage that, but more or less routine things. But about 2 weeks ago, they had a number of what they call critical incidents
right.
in there. Now, no fault of any employee or any particular person, but it created a lot of stress in the offices because I think there was suicide. There was a violent incident. And so they go, well, we have a lot of people with problems now that you need to help. And she goes, okay, well, what are the protocols in place for when we have a critical incident? Now, you have to think in the terms of the U.S. Now, right. what's a critical incident? We have active shooter. We've got criminal gangs.
Oh, don't
we got yeah, all the things that you might think in the juvenile justice system.
What's critical in
it? Well, back that up. So she says, well, what are the protocols now in place? And they're like, we don't have any protocols.
Mm-hmm.
This is an organization that's been around for decades, but they're not used to having those kind of incidents.
Anything that's
and serious. They don't have a cookie cutter or a template that they just go to.
Or they become more American as time goes by.
Well, luckily they had an American there that... there's no active shooter, no gang violence, no major catastrophe. Let's get organized on this. And so she had to develop that. But just think of the culture shock. You don't even think about guns in the that are going to come into a child's life or things like that.
No, it's like a U.S. used to be. A while ago.
Well, maybe.
Okay. I never thought growing up that I was worried about somebody's going to come in and shoot me. You know, it just never crossed my mind. Maybe you'd get harassed by a bully.
Well, that's because we were taking our guns down the street there to go shoot rabbits.
It must have been.
I don't know. But, all right. So the CJ is a very successful attorney. But as I said, he has a political interest. And so just to, before we go into one of the topics I wanted to talk to you about, how do politics affect you or engage you now in your current career?
Man, you know, I love our country. And I just think it's so important that we participate in the political process. You know, we don't have to agree with everything, but we have to respect other people's opinions. I always say, I don't like the word compromise your views. I say collaborate with others to get things done. You know, government is about great infrastructure, giving us opportunities for us to create our own businesses, to create our own destiny, and so forth and so on. We have a unique country. I spent a lot of time overseas, and I am always amazed how great our country can be and is overall, but how we're slipping, in my opinion, in a direction I don't want to really go. And we have to stop this slide to the extreme right, you know, in the sense of fascism, democracy, etc. So, great country. We need to get involved. We need to keep our democracy strong. We need to believe in our system, and we always need to work to make it better.
Well, here at Reins and Edge, we've just been on the air as a show for 5 or 6 weeks. Mark Edge, of course, is the founder of Free Talk Live, and Reins and Edge is carried Friday nights on the Free Talk Live network. So the show has a 20-year history thereabouts of expressing libertarian interests and topics and things like that. But what's your familiarity with libertarianism?
Well, for 40 years I raced motorcycles. Road racing. And the guys involved in that.
How many years?
40. I'm old, right? So if you think about it, I mean, very fiercely independent people. We come different political backgrounds, parties, etc. But we all have something in common. We're very independent. We believe in ourselves. So I have my own business as a lawyer. If I was not an attorney, I wouldn't have my own. If I didn't, wasn't an attorney, I'd be doing my own practice. I've always had businesses. I always believe in a strong entrepreneurship base. I don't trust government. I'm a defense attorney for years as well as doing personal injury. But as a defense attorney, I don't trust government. We have a remarkable system in our country, in our criminal justice system, where the government has to prove each and every element beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. We didn't trust the political process when we created this system. We didn't trust judges, so we created a jury system. Our foundation, if you will, in my opinion, it's more libertarian than not, in a way. I'm progressive on issues, but I'm also, I guess I'm more centrist, because I want to include everybody in this great experiment, but I don't trust government. I believe that it's about checks and balances. It's about having two parties at least that can balance each other. One completely in charge is a ruinous thing. Let's happen in Florida. And not because they're conservatives that are in charge. I mean, if the Dems are in charge, you're going to have the same problem. I believe in checks and balances and distrust of power. This is, power corrupts, so we need to have a system that understands that we can't all get our way. And I'm a very big stronger in the independent individual who creates their own destiny. I believe that you are the master of your destiny. I don't believe in some higher powers controlling everything I do. The word in Spanish for prayer is oración, orar con acción, prayer with action. So if you just pray for something, if you're one of these people, I think you're a fool. If you're a person of faith, ask God for the strength for you to change your world, you to make a difference in your life, you to make more money, that's where I come from. And I think it's very libertarian-esque and very progressive in the sense of, hey, I don't care what you do, but don't come in my world and tell me what to do. So if that's libertarian, that's what I am, because I believe that government should stay the hell out of my body and my life, and I want you to stay out of mine, but I also will stay out of yours.
Well, if you just got back from a late night snack and you're at the refrigerator when we started this segment, Mark Edge is not with us right now, but old friend CJ Zaya is with me right now. And I hate to speak for libertarians because Mark usually does that. But as a personal injury attorney, right, I'm sure they may have some opinions about you, generally.
Well, they should know that we're good.
As I understand it, one of the ways that libertarians feel there could be less regulation is if the court system was a better resource for individuals that have been damaged to seek justice that way, as opposed to having a central government dictate mandates on how to behave.
Well, that could work, but you have to then allow the system to work. And, this last Governor DeSantis in March of 24 changed a lot of things. I mean, I don't think people are aware that if there's another hurricane, you're not going to be able to, if the insurance company owes you $100,000 and they're only paying you $50,000, before you could, for 120 years, hire an attorney, get them to pay the $100,000, and on top of that, pay the attorney fees and costs. Now that's gone. You're going to have to eat it from the money you get to fix your home. If they would allow the system to work, I would say yes. But government, if there's anybody that's getting involved, is DeSantis, is the biggest, these are the guys that are taking our rights away and repressing and suppressing responsibility. Personal injury attorneys are about getting responsibility from the people that have harmed you. That's it. If somebody's caused you harm, they ought to pay you for it. That's, instead we all get guns and shoot each other. That's the other system we could implement.
Well, a few weeks ago, Mark Edge and I were talking about some of the different news stories that mm-hmm. were the hot topics of the week. And one thing that we talked about that has now has a follow-up that we'd like to make the audience aware of, we talked about the ballot measure in Ohio,
right,
that would have made it tougher to protect abortion rights. And that was where they wanted a amendment to the state constitution would have to pass with a supermajority of 60%. Now, some people may say, well, something that big, it needs to be a supermajority. But there was another part to it that was very, very onerous. Not only did you have to have the supermajority, but to get it on the ballot, you had to have the signatures from 5% of the eligible voters in every county of the state.
Okay.
So, in other words, you could go to the county that had 200,000 people and get 5% of them. You could go to the county that had 1,000,000 people, get 5% of them.
So, a conservative county could block the whole thing.
Yes, like 1,000 people could block it. 1,000 eligible voters could block it for the rest of the state.
So now, majority doesn't control. A minority can control it.
Right. Well, it's a way of preempting the any ballot. Because what they were seeing, the Republicans in the legislature in Ohio were seeing that these different, whether it was the ballot initiative in Kansas or one of the other states, very conservative states, but reproductive rights was a motivating factor for so many women and so many voters of every gender. I mean, we got to say every gender now. It's not a binary choice anymore. Anyway, the Republicans hope to win back control of the Senate and keep their House majority, but acknowledge abortion politics will complicate their chances of winning. This has been a potent issue, as we saw ever since the overturning of Roe v. Wade in the Supreme Court of the United States.
Which was ridiculous, if you like freedom. I mean, you know what really blows my mind, Henry? All these people waving the U.S. flag, they're saying they're about small government and all this. But then these anti-abortion people have just given the government the biggest win to come into your life and take control of it. You know, there was a case called Griswold before Roe v. Wade that, you know, contraceptives was illegal in our country, you know, through state lines, etc. Griswold said, no, it's a right of privacy. Right of privacy is not clearly enumerated in our federal constitution. It is in Florida, for example, but not in the federal. So the constitution, well, if it's not written in the well, it's supposed to change with time, and the court interprets what is there or not. We don't have the right of privacy specifically written in our federal constitution. When they came up with Roe v. Wade, it's a putting a blender theory of different rights together to come up with privacy. Now, by reversing this, what this means is now government has the absolute right to come into your life, into your body, and do whatever the hell they want. If you're a person who believes in freedom, then you can, if you've been backing these right-wing fascists, then you have just allowed government to control your life. I mean, I just don't understand it.
Well, and if I remember correctly, Griswold versus Connecticut, it wasn't just the physical contraception, the prescribing of it. The doctor was not even allowed to discuss contraception. So there wasn't even the freedom of speech to talk about it with the
patient. Government can control and has a right to control your life now in multiple states across this country because of these whack jobs who wave the U.S. flag, it's not an American flag, it's the United States of America, the flag, our flag, and claim they're about freedom, and claim about small government. My ass. They are not. They're either ignorant, they're stupid, or they're just hypocrites. Or you figure out what they are, but I don't get it. I hope they're just ignorant. Wake up, people.
Well, the update that we'd like to tell you about is that the ballot measure was voted on, and 57% to 43%, with more than 3 million Ohio voters voting, including 700,000 that voted early, they voted not to amend the Constitution to require the supermajority or the onerous regulation on how to get a ballot initiative up to the voters. Now, it said independent college-educated women, even those that lean to the right, are breaking in a way that they never have on the abortion issue. Before the Roe reversal, independent right-leaning women were almost a lock for Republicans, but it's not so clear now. And that was a Republican strategist that was speaking to the news service. But we also have the fact that in the suburbs, the centrist and center-right women are breaking in a different way. These are bigger numbers than have normally broke when, you know, periodically things push a voter to change their normal pattern of voting. But in any kind of recent memory, and by recent I mean decades, they haven't seen changes of this magnitude in these numbers across the country like they are now. And now there's going to be a name that you're going to remember, I believe.
Okay.
Celinda Lake. Do you remember her?
Sure.
Celinda Lake, and just background, is a 20 years ago, when we were involved in your congressional campaign. You, of course, were much more involved in your congressional campaign than I was. But I had interviewed Celinda Lake and a couple other pollsters and found her really on top of the polling and public opinion and able to get to the crux of the matters on different issues. Well, it turns out that she still is around and she's still polling people. She says, abortion, this is a quote, abortion persists as a major mobilizing and motivating issue and persuasion issue. We saw a record high turnout in Ohio. It was a little over 3 million, as we just told you. We saw the mobilization of voters that hadn't even voted in 2022. In the early vote alone, there were 30,000 voters who voted in the election that hadn't voted in 2022, and they were largely women and African-American women. Lake said there was a 19-point shift compared to the 2020 election when Trump defeated Joe Biden 53-45%, and the shift was really across the board. It provided a roadmap for victory in Ohio in 2024. It provides a roadmap for victory, I think, nationwide. And evidently, tremendous gains in the suburb. There have been questions about whether abortion is still a salient issue, and that was resoundingly answered in the election. So,
nothing like taking our rights away. Nothing like taking our rights away and giving it to big government. Beautiful. Thank you, the Republicans. Thank you very much, my fascist friends. I am so freaking scared about what's going on in our country, except for that. The silver lining is that if you slap the sleeping giant, they're going to wake up. And the sleeping giant are the people of this country that believe in freedom and to keep government and the church and everybody else out of their personal life. That's what I believe in. And that's what I think the majority of people would.
Well, in just a few minutes before we have to say goodbye to the audience, let's do a little handicapping on the upcoming presidential election. Of course, you weren't around for the earlier parts of the show.
Right.
We looked at some of the statistics in the economy. Although inflation weighs on the household budget and is very immediate to voters, as we look at reindustrialization of the United States and in Europe for that matter too, the projection for manufacturing, construction, for infrastructure in the coming year looks to be a real driver of growth in the economy. So the question is whether inflation will come down enough, because you know when you're putting gas in your car and it's 20 cents more than it was last week per gallon, or you're at the grocery store and now you have to buy a lesser quality product than what you'd like to feed your family, it seems very immediate. Do you think that inflation is going to be the dominant issue a year from now when people are getting ready to vote, or do you have any feeling of whether it's going to...
Normally, it's the economy, stupid. Is that what they said back in the day? Normally, I would say that's it, because we care about our money in our pockets more than anything else. And that's how Hitler got elected, too, by the way, because they promised a better Germany. In my opinion, it was more economic-driven than no, what the hell do we care about the Jews? You know, it's always an attack on the other. The fact
is, those are words you're putting. Let me be clear. Those are words that you're repeating for somebody.
Right. I don't. But so they always have to attack the other in order, and it's usually the economy. So we'll look the other way because my life is better. But what's going to happen? Hopefully, it's not just about the economy. It's about the realization of the lunatics that are running on the right. Now, I like conservatives. I got no problem with conservatives. I'm very conservative in a lot of issues, believe it or not. But for God's sake, we're talking about our democracy and another nutbag who continues to argue that, for example, that the election was lost. If you love democracy, if you love your country, as Al Gore did in 2000, he says, okay, I lost this one. I have issues with it, but let's do this for the sake of our nation. And then come back and run again if you feel that strong. But you as a leader must take your country forward to bring everybody on this great world of ours, our great country of ours, and bring us together. If you are voting for fools that are trying to destroy our nation, I would hope the people can put for the moment down their economic issues and focus on what's really important here, the survival of our nation.
You know, we only have about a minute and a half left here, CJ, and we've been speaking with Attorney CJ Zaya, former congressional candidate, multi-decade successful attorney, political activist too. Just in the last 48 hours or so, Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, has said he's not sure that he will run for re-election, and he's not sure if he will run for re-election as a Democrat or as an independent. And he is not sure he won't run for president on the no party's third party label. How was that handicap the election? You got 30 seconds.
That makes it very interesting. I'm a big fan of Yang and even, Jolly, former Representative Jolly in the St. Pete area. I do believe that there's a place for centrist candidates that we need a place for, like, the forward party. We need that. This no names is a different gig because what it does, it's set up to get a right wing person elected, in my opinion. The forward party is saying, no, we're not going in the presidentials. We're going to go on the little guys, start at the lower level and work up. I think it's very dangerous, and we'll see how it moves.
Well, you get the last word for tonight. Next week, Mark Edge will be back from his mission, and we will be with Mark for the full 3 hours. Thank you, CJ, for coming. And we'll be back next Friday with Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.